Goblin, 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 Goblin. There we go. That's the fastest time we've mentioned Goblin amputee porn on this show. Hit it. Welcome to episode 34 of the Big Town Podcast, your only weekly source for the show where you temporarily forget you have stabbing back pain. As always, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is the mayor of MGTOW, Drexel. Say hi.
Hello to everybody who doesn't have sciatica right now.
What about the people who do?
Oh yeah, your life sucks. At least on one side, if not both.
Yeah. There's always heroin.
Well, they're giving out, what is it? Is it free heroin? Free clean heroin?
Yeah. Yeah, heroin, meth, and I forget what the other one, cocaine. Yeah, cocaine, meth, and heroin in front of the Vancouver Police Department.
I mean, who takes Vancouver seriously anymore, man? Who takes Canada seriously? Like, dude, now to be fair, I gotta be fair to all my Canadians out there. America's not far behind, right? The UK has been cucked. America, if you go to the... Yeah. You guys are just a little bit ahead, that's all. I would say you guys with Bill C-51 and all that, you guys are between three, depending on where you stand, like, you know, where you live, 3 to 10 years ahead. So anything you see in Canada, 3 to 10 years.
Bill C-10, which is the internet censorship bill, that died in the Senate because they rose for the summer. So they're not meeting anymore. So the internet censorship bill died in Senate.
For now.
Oh, it'll come back.
Yeah. Always remember,
you
guys.
Think
for
be
now,
a summer election, no.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, enough about Canadian politics because no one gives a shit.
Not even Canadians.
Well, we have some like a 40% turnout for our elections. If we're lucky.
Are you guys serious? Damn.
No, I think it's like 60 or 70.
Oh.
But still, it's, you know, it's pretty low. See, this is why I think fentanyl-laced drugs was a conspiracy by the government to kill off drug dealers because they're expensive. They're really expensive. Drug addicts. Drug addicts are really expensive to a government.
Yep.
A lot easier just to OD them on fentanyl than it is to give them all these addiction centers and homeless shelters, welfare that they just turn around and spend on more drugs.
You don't say.
I mean, even if you legalized everything, there'd still be fentanyl overdoses. So
I believe it.
I mean, I'm willing to believe that you know what, the government's just like, hey, why don't we put this cocaine? Why don't we put this fentanyl laced cocaine in circulation? Fentanyl meth, like our dear old friend George Floyd was using.
Yeah, the dude was
put
a clown
in circulation. Because, I mean, from the drug dealer point of view, it's not good business to kill your clients.
Correct. Yeah, that's actually, that was one of the main things in The Dark Knight, when you get to the very beginning of the movie, and Scarecrow's giving them drugs that are, you know, taking their minds in some very bad places, and the guy in the Chechen's like, yo, I need repeat customers. I can't have my people out here getting all freaked out, but, you know, I mean, hey. Is what it is, man. That's all I can say, man. Just don't, please stop using drugs. You know, why don't we start there, right? The fact that
if you want to send me some of that Vancouver PD heroin, I won't say no. In Minecraft.
Well, here's what one of the things that hit me. I love Undead Chronic, and I will say this though, man. The drug culture has gotten out of control. I need to address this when I talk about relationships on one of these episodes, because I don't know where you guys may live out there in the world, but like, there are just far too many women out here with the drug stuff. I mean, like, rampant drug use, and you know, they've already surpassed men in drinking. Well, I don't mean like the hard drugs. I'm just saying like the weed and the drinking. Like, too many females. Yeah. I kid you not. You can send a chick a text, right? I'm blazed, and they're just all weird. It's just like, oh, here we, because there are dudes out there who are in prison right now because a female had a little too much to drink or got a little too high. And then because she remembers something differently, you did something to me, right? I got to go to the cops. So he's like, I am drug free. Oh, yeah. I don't like that stuff around me. I don't like smelling it. I don't like to deal with people who are, everyone's been around a drunk person before at some point, right? Even someone who's tipsy.
The fans of anything are the worst part, right? Anime, movie, music, name it. The fans are always the worst part. The same goes for drugs. The drug culture is the worst part about drugs.
Yeah, agreed. If people just said, hey, yo, I'm going to go do my drugs in my own house, not bother anybody, cool. But what happens? They got to be out in public. They got to be out, you know, engaging with people, just doing all this weird fuck shit. It's like, here we go. Now I have to deal with
one
you.
Drugs, please. That's how you would order it.
Yeah, I got to deal with these idiots. But and drugs is the least of our problems, because today we got to start dealing with something that has actually been on my mind for a while, which is the manosphere itself, right? And if we go back to the origins of the manosphere, right? And what was the intent? If we go back, you know, we're talking like the earlier days of even YouTube and all that, right? You know, we talk about, you know, Barbossa, Stardust, all those kind of guys back then. And if you start to really break down what guys were talking about, what is it they wanted from men? What did they want men to know? The original intent of the manosphere was, I would say, overwhelmingly positive, right? And they wanted to, obviously, you know, they start talking about, you know, that's when these terms start coming, right? With a plantation, you know, like, I think a lot of guys already kind of knew this deep down. Like, that's why a lot of guys, when you notice, when they first kind of gravitate toward the red pill, like, they kind of knew this stuff. Like, oh, now there's a word for it. Now there's a phrase for it. Now there's because it was always kind of in the back of their mind, right? And many men have felt lost and frustrated in a world that shames, ridicules, and devalues them, right? And it's like, this is the funny thing. This is the greatest thing about this. While simultaneously demanding that those same men provide, protect, sacrifice. Yeah, right? And then, ironically enough still, they want you to improve. So the same system that is shaming you and ridiculing you and calling you toxic and you're so bad is still putting pressure on you to improve. But the reason they want you to improve, it's not for yourself. You see what I'm saying? Like, they don't say get to the gym
It's got to benefit them in some way.
It has to benefit them.
Yeah, got to benefit them. You get a raise at work, well, that means she gets more presents.
Yeah, she gets more, spend more on her. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, and this is where the manosphere, I think, this is the starting point, right? Most guys enter the manosphere, the red pill community, so they entered it, usually it involved something either with a breakup or maybe they had like an abusive family life or something, like, you know, especially with single moms, you know.
Fuck shit.
Fuck shit, right?
Fuck shit is the road sign to the manosphere.
It really is. And most of that happens to involve the opposite gender. Like a lot of dudes were like looking for answers. Like, wait a minute, I did everything society told me to do. I did it right, and I still got hoes. What happened? And then they start looking around, looking for an answer, and they started listening to these terms. Like, okay, so simping. Okay, red pill, blue pill, masculine frame. A lot of these things started kind of making sense. They started thinking back to their own life. And looking at the things that they did.
Glossary.
Yeah, right?
We gotta do
a little legend.
Maybe I'll put it up on the website. We'll just do, because I mean, the plantation, red pill, blue pill, purple pill, right?
Black pill. Yeah, it all of this stuff really is interconnected in terms of how we live our lives. Because when you have a system that's telling you something, one of the things that I've noticed, and you saw this with the mask mandates, is that they got you into a sense of just doing without question, right? Hey, just do this. Hey, we changed the mask update. Now it's this. Now it's that. Wait, what? People stopped questioning. They got dumber, right? Like, Tim, you remember Metal Gear Solid in the original? When Liquid Snake is chastising Solid Snake, and he says, you know, he starts laughing. He goes, Snake, you're nothing but a pawn. Do you remember he says you've lost your warrior's pride nothing more than a pawn snake? See? But there was a time when you would question things. Liquid, of course, is considered the villain in the story, but yet in reality, he's not, and Solidus certainly is not villain. He does villainous things, but when you get to Sons of Liberty, Solidus is not a true villain. He's an anti-hero at best. And you start to see, this is kind of what represents the Manosphere, right? Because these guys are sitting there telling you, yo, man, you've been deceived. You've been tricked. And when Solidus has his plans for what he wants to do to the Patriots, and he wants to free the world of their control, well, guess what? The winner dictates the terms of the story, right? Who's the villain? Who's the victim? So they're going to say, oh, this guy was a terrorist. This guy was this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? The early days of America with the settlers, right? Look at what happened. They are still viewed even in actual documents as terrorists, right? Terrorists. Go to Boston, right? They're viewed as terrorists. And someone goes, wait a minute, but I thought they were the good guys.
All because we wanted to have some tea in the harbor.
Well, what ends up happening is when you have these oppressive laws, right? And you're out here basically just getting pimped. And you're saying, I'm tired of the crown pimping me. I want to leave. Now, what they should have said, and this is, I want you guys to really think about this, because this ties into the very nature of the Manosphere and breaking away from the Matrix. If someone is shaming you and calling you stupid, toxic, worthless, you should be overjoyed that those people are leaving, right? You should literally be like this, oh God, thank God all these losers are leaving. But much like the founding of this country, that's not what happened, did it? The same people, women, society, the media, who was shaming men and calling them horrible, when guys started checking out, they're like, oh, no. You need to marry these single moms. Marry, and you guys should just step up and be a stepdad. See, they wanted more from you. More. Make more money. Do more this. Do more that. It's like, wait a minute.
It's the worst game of fuck, marry, kill. You fuck your back, you kill your paycheck, and you marry the German Shepherd.
Yeah. Look, and don't complain about it. Don't you dare complain that you have a 317-pound German Shepherd with 4 kids by 3 baby daddies. Don't you dare complain. Oh, she doesn't submit? She doesn't cook for you? She doesn't do shit for you? Too bad. Suck it up. Be a man. Be a man, man. And then you know what happened when guys actually took that deal? At some point when they realized they were cucked, they're like, I sure am giving a lot, but what is it that I'm getting in return, right? And that's why I said, Simon keeps pushing.
I stepped up. 17 and 0.
Oh, those are just offensive. But think about that.
Work on my cuck voice.
Yeah. We got to get Team Sneed back in here. He'll have you record some lines. But you start to look at this as in terms of what they want from you, right? What are they demanding? All they're doing, they're saying, shut up and produce. That's the actual talking point of your opposition. Shut up and just do what I tell you to do. It's not about what you want. It's not about if anything benefits you. Shut up and take it, right? Just do what I tell you. And the very origin of this Manosphere, that's not what it was about. It was about telling guys, yo, this is the game that's being played on you. So I want you guys to go back and think about your journey, right? Everyone had a journey to get to this point in the Manosphere, to the red pill, to the blue pill, to the black pill. There's a journey. Even blue pill conditioning starts early. That's a journey, right? Because sometimes a person may say something that's a little out of line and they smack them back into blue pill conditioning, right? Like, wait a minute.
Instantly you're purple pilled if you know the blue pill exists. Like if you're like, correct. Oh man, they're conditioning me, that you're automatically a purple pill.
Yeah. Well, look, you said it yourself. When you were in school and you saw that the rules were different for girls and boys, and yet they kept preaching egalitarianism, right? This equality. And they were like, wait a minute, how come? And
anytime you question it, right? Anytime you question it, they just go,
and then they smacked you. They try to smack you back into your place.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't say that. You can't do that. Wait, but this girl just literally slapped me in the face And because I physically retaliate, I'm the guy in trouble. How does that make sense? Well, I mean, you can't touch our girl. Wait a minute, but you just said we're equal. So,
I'm 6 years old. I'm pretty sure you can't make the whole I'm stronger argument.
Yeah. Boys and girls at that age are basically the same in terms of their physical strength. You're not going to have some, you know.
that's why we're giving them hormones. Yeah, Ken. Oh,
of course. And don't forget, they have to, of course, put the boys on all the drugs. They got to dope them up. They want these guys neutered. And a lot of guys didn't understand why they were being neutered so early, why they're being conditioned. The same guy who's being conditioned with drugs and obedience early on becomes the guy in Cuck Simulator later in life. That does not happen overnight.
We were talking about drugs before the show got recording. The number of boys in an average classroom in elementary school who are on Ritalin, I don't know what the other substitutes are, because I don't have ADHD. I just go outside and play.
Yeah, well, these boys don't have ADHD. There's nothing wrong with them.
No, give them a soccer ball. The cure to ADHD is to throw someone a ball.
Well, here's the thing, though, guys. The reason why we got to the way where we're at is because you ended up having like this. They told the boys everything about them and what they do, what they desire. All of that is wrong. And then conversely, they told the girls everything they do and desire is right. So that's how you're starting to see all these effects. When you're sitting there wondering, like, well, how come the system is so overplayed on one side? Because they just gave both sides the opposite message, right? So that's how we found this journey, right? And we had the first part of the journey really was understanding female nature, right? And, you know, I'm not even going to beat that horse and sit there and, you know, talk about this, that, and the other. We all know that by now if you're listening. I mean, there's a million channels that talk about female nature. But one of the things that was important was also understanding, or better understanding, our own nature as men, right? And how it pertains to us and how we want to carve out a life for ourselves, free of misery, free of drama, and free of usury. Because a lot of guys, if you notice, when they say red pill rage, what is red pill rage? Red pill rage is what ends up happening when dudes realize they got played, right? It's what Anakin Skywalker does. That's
when the hockey mask comes out.
Yeah, that's when HMT starts. Because after Anakin Skywalker loses to Obi-Wan, and he wakes up as Darth Vader, truly Darth Vader, in the suit as a cyborg, and he finds out Padme's dead, and he's screaming, that's just rage. He got played. So now you're a shell of yourself, which is what a lot of men are after a divorce, after their lives have been ruined, they don't get to see their kids. All they have is just rage. There's nowhere really to direct it at other than just screaming. You see what I'm saying? Because what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? All you are is just, you're just enraged, and it has nowhere to go. It's combustible. And the thing is, we take different paths, right? All of us. But if you think about it, and this is what Dollhouse Phil and I talked about, no one seems to realize that the craziest part about the manosphere is how everyone all over the world, all these men, right? He's in Asia. This guy's over in South America, North America, Africa. How come all these different guys from all different walks of life came to the same damn conclusion, right? So people start realizing, wait a minute, how did I come to this conclusion? How did I come to this conclusion? All these people. Oh, shit. Is that an RPM?
Oh, hang on. We just had an invasion from RPM. Yeah. How are you doing, man?
You guys know how I'm doing, laughing at Clown World, Cuckafornia, and just causing as much mayhem as I can by not doing a damn thing about it.
RPM's ears must have tingled when we said hockey mask.
Yeah. The RPM rave, it's hilarious because when I'm looking at the notes for this episode, some of these things actually are things that RPM himself has talked about. And, you know, I was talking about just how we end up getting to this point. We all come to the same conclusions. And I always ask guys out there, how did you come to the red pill or the red pill content? Because everybody, what I've noticed, that it seems to be usually it's after a breakup. It's some relationship with the woman that made them go, wait a minute, something's off. Something's off because this doesn't make sense. And yet, one of the things that I noticed in RPM, I'm sure you know the same thing. When the money and the attention was at a minimum, the message in the manosphere was tight. It was clear and concise, and it was pure, right? It was very streamlined.
I can definitely agree with that.
You remember that? There was a lot of people don't know this, but a long time ago, there wasn't, it wasn't about super chats and all this, you know, even Discord servers. It was literally just a guy, and you usually didn't see his face, right? People had to be anonymous because of this information. This was too toxic. So what ended up happening is a lot of guys, and you know, obviously the TFMs of the world are still this way, where they weren't showing their face. There were guys that I remember watching guys doing videos in trucks with hoodies on and masks on. And the thing I noticed was these guys wanted that message real tight, right? Understand female nature, understand feminism and gynocentrism. And then they started saying what? Here's the rules, right? They started laying down the ground rules. Due to the current social landscape, stay away from having kids. Stay away from long-term relationships and, you know, cohabitation. You know, stay away from all these things, these snares and traps. And if you guys notice, this was the time when the money and attention wasn't really there. Do you know what you ended up seeing? This was the rise of TFM, the rise of Sandman, the rise of the Black Manosphere. This is that like 2012-ish time. You started seeing these kind of guys pop up between 2012 to say 2000, I'd say 15, 16. And now all of a sudden, something changed. And when someone says, well, Drex, what changed? Grifters. See, a lot of people, especially men, who, you know, you think about it, at first, they shamed MGTOW. They shamed the message. They shamed guys who got dolls. They called them losers. They called you toxic. They said, and here's the best thing. They were using the same talking points as females. A lot of guys didn't know about this because at first they just thought, oh, Drex, I mean, that's just the left. Or, you know, someone else would say that's just the right. I said, dude, listen carefully. The left guys were telling you to get on the plantation. The right guys were telling you to get on the plantation. And one of the big issues is they were trying to say what? You guys are just MGTOW because you're gay. You guys are just MGTOW because you can't get laid. You're an incel. It was a shaming language, right? You need to be better. You loser.
Speaking of incel. See,
the thing about me is, I was the extreme outlier because people didn't know exactly where to put me because it's like, well, okay. He outright says he's married, so we can't call him an incel. We can't call him a loser. We can't really shame this guy. So he's just going to be off in left field somewhere. So that's where I fit in. So people are like, yeah, we really can't shame him. So we're just going to pretty much leave him alone because, like I said, the main shaming tactics that they were used were completely ineffective on me.
I just got two words for anyone who wants to go at RPM. Episode 148.
Oh, speaking of that, I actually had to mention you, Drexel, in the last HMT that I did.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one. That I'm trying to think which one it was. I did hear my name mentioned because you said you referred to our little cohabitation that we did together. And you said that the big issue is that men need to stop caring, right? They have to stop caring about these females in society. Like, that's going to, when things are going to change. But RPM, therein lies the issue with the manosphere, right? Is that these guys will not ever, like, here's the thing. Women are slaves to their nature. And to an extent, so are men, which is the sacrificial nature of man. And one of the big issues I have with the manosphere is that people aren't addressing, that at least that I'm looking at, they aren't properly addressing the flaw with male nature. That sacrificial nature is why things aren't changing fast enough. Because guys are like, but RPM, but we got to uphold society. We can't let the women fall. And I'm looking at this. If you guys notice, this is when the dating coaches came in. RPM, do you notice you didn't hear about dating coaches on YouTube in like 2012. You didn't really hear about that. 2013, 14, not really. You know, usually they were the game guys, right? And think about this for a second, guys. In the evolution of the Manosphere, this exact point, it was between 2012 and 2016. You started seeing all these game guys, right? The game guys, the dating coach gurus, the PUAs, right? And I always ask them, what was their message? What was their angle? If you start to really listen to these guys real carefully, you know, they wouldn't address something. Like, they didn't really address Me Too, because, you know, Me Too hit in end of 2017. And these same dudes up the ante, buy my dating course, blah, 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 blah. And I said, wait a minute. I said, dude, I'm out here. I'm one of those select men. I know what it's like to be a select man. It's a headache. All these guys out there who are like, well, Drex, I don't get laid. You know, I'm an incel, or maybe I don't have good options. I go, dude, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any better. When you see pictures of a lot of these guys who are even above me on the scale, you know, these high value men that are, you know, multi-millionaire movie stars and all that stuff, celebrities. Dude, they have just as many issues with women as the average guy. And
just ask Johnny Depp.
Yeah, look at Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, right? Look at what happened to Vic. You got
those guys actually have more issues with those women because of, guess what? Resources. They have more resources to be taken by the system. So that's why they have more problems with these women.
Yeah, what did Biggie Smalls say? More money, more problems. It's very true. Dude, like a lot of, you know, when it comes to rap is hard blue pill and hard red pill. You hear it from both sides. You hear him simping for a single mom in one song. And then you hear him saying, oh, fuck all these bitches ain't shit in another song. And one of the things, RPM knows this. And one of the things I find funny is that as the Manosphere evolved, you started seeing a parallel. And there's a very disturbing parallel that I want to talk about, which is, there's the grifters that came in. Those are the dudes, right? And then you have the chameleons, the females. And I feel these chameleons are far more dangerous because they became the infiltrators, right? And they want you back on that plantation. And, you know, do you know why they want you on there? A lot of guys don't understand why. Like, Drex, I mean, she seems like a nice girl. And I know RPM has seen this in comment sections, right? When these girls make these, we need men back. Men are being devalued in society. These are all chameleons, right? And then you see the simps in the comment section. Yas, queen, we need more like you. It's like, have you learned nothing? Have you learned nothing, right? And they want you back on the plantation for a very simple reason. It lines their pockets, and it keeps you useful and dumb, okay? If I have you smart, if RPM, you ever think back to slave times, and they didn't want the men, the black men, to read and write and become literate, right? They allowed the females to, right? Black women were allowed to read and write. And a lot of people don't understand why this is. Well, let me give you guys a little history lesson. The reason why you had slave masters allowing the black women to be educated was because due to their hypergamy and female nature, women don't have empathy to pull other people up with them. They tear them down. So they looked down on the black man and then simped harder for white zaddy. So how does that relate to where we're at today? Well, you have dudes out here talking about some, oh man, you know what, let's fast forward. You have a fractured Manosphere because now you got guys trying to shame other guys for their subscriber counts, for their, if they're a high value man or low value man, how much pee sleeve they get. It's like, dude, are you guys serious? Is this where it's at? Like, And I've seen enough out of these dudes in the Manosphere to it's just made me pissed off just enough where I had to say, you know what, someone's got to comment on this. Because if you notice, in this evolution of the Manosphere, we're at a different stage. And this is the rise of some of the guys that have come, let's say, within the last 5 years. Shout out to Joker, Better Bachelor. You got guys Fresh and Fit, Coach Greg Adams, RPM, Undead Chronic, them in the War Band, Minister Jab, O'Shea Duke Jackson, Black Manosphere. Now, when it comes to these guys, they're coming from different places, right? I got like Hammerhand, he's a monk. You got guys who went monk mode. You got guys that have a girlfriend. If I recall, Human makes great videos, a British chap. Just like Red Pill on steroids. You got guys like Mr. Elite. You know, guys are coming from different angles. Some guys are like, yo, man, I understand the game. I still smash. Some guys went full monk. Oh, he's Australian? Human's Australian. So a lot of these guys come from different angles. You got guys like Terrence Pop, of course, who obviously was, you know, served in the service. He's spoken, if I recall, at, I want to say at Congress, I believe. He's like spoken at political rallies of how men get used and abused in the family courts, like what happened to him. And there are the people out there, and this is what I want you guys to understand with the Manosphere. There are people out there who have good intentions and want only the best for you. And then you have people who secretly are agents. They're infiltrators. I've always told you that my only major beef with Kevin Samuels, I have a couple of major issues. One, if you're telling guys to be high-value men, right, go get this money, do X, Y, and Z, I can respect that. I have nothing against that. My issue with Kevin Samuels is why he wants you to have those things, right? Wearing the three-piece suit, having the watch, having these status symbols. RPM, you know this better than most. You're just a bigger target when you wear these things, right? The three-piece suit, the fast, nice car. These women see that, and so do the dudes. And they're going to try to go ahead and take what you've got through by any means necessary. And Kevin Samuels still is talking about marriage, yet he himself has been married and divorced twice and is not currently married. That's now, in terms of what I like about Kevin Samuels, right, is that his red pill talking points, all of his advice to these women are all spot on. And one of the things that I have an issue with in the Manosphere is that, like, we need to get to a point where we can go like this. Yo, I appreciate all these things about you, but here's a couple of things that makes me got to go, ooh. But yet we don't boot the guy of the Manosphere because we have an issue with one or two talking points. Because RPM, you've seen this. There are guys who shame guys who get dolls, right? Even though they aren't hurting anybody. They aren't hurting nobody. But yet they have an issue with the guy getting a doll. Like, oh, you're a loser. And it's like, wait a minute. So how did the Manosphere get to a point where guys were sitting there saying that someone's a loser if they get a doll or whatever, and yet the guy who gets a doll can't get divorce raped? The guy who gets a doll can't end up paying child support. Like, so what is the message? This is the reason why we have to always constantly revert back to the original message, because we're looking at guys like 21 Studios, Anthony Dream Johnson and them, beefing with Donovan Sharp and all that. And I get where he's coming from. It's that whole traditionalist mindset, and I respect that. I respect you having a traditionalist mindset. The problem is when you have a traditionalist mindset in this current culture, this current man-hating, gynocentric culture. So Anthony Dream Johnson was wearing a red hat that said, make women virgins again and make women great again. I'm thinking, first of all, when were they ever great? They were only better because men were around to keep them in check. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't like women were just walking out there being altruistic just for the sake of being altruistic. Oh, no. They were kept in check. So you look at what's going on now, and I'm looking at Anthony Dream Johnson, and I'm like, wait a minute, bro. Women have no incentive to do well and change and be better people. And telling them that, hey, these are the dangers of feminism, that's not going to change anything. They still control the vote. So what is it? So you still are telling guys to get married? No. This needs to be put to rest forever. The marriage thing needs to die forever. Not, oh, no, but Drex, it's how we got here as a species. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Okay? Like, hey, RPM, do you ever think about this for a second? When it comes to technology, right? Technology can get us to a certain point, right? And then you know what we say? Oh, we have something better now. So you get rid of that, right? Because it no longer serves its function, right? That's why we don't use typewriters. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. The term is called planned obsolescence.
Planned obsolescence. Yeah. Well, you read about this in marketing classes and economics, right? With planned obsolescence. So like, whether they're planned or unplanned, my issue is this. If something got you to a certain point, we need to view more things in this life and in the Manosphere as utilitarian. Okay, this served a purpose. It had a function, a very specific function. It got us to point B from point A, right? Once we get to point B, guys have to just go like this. You know, this marriage thing worked up until this point. It's time to let it go. You see what I'm saying? Is him snoring on the damn thing? He's probably dead.
That's why I mentioned in my last video where I talked about why more wives need to cheat on their husbands to force their eyes open to this whole marriage.
Agree.
I say I agree completely. Let it fucking burn.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So RPM, when you look at this Manosphere thing, and we see where things are at, right? What if more guys started watching these girls' TikTok videos, right? What if more guys started actually going out here and letting these women tell them the truth, which is like, oh yeah, I just use this guy for money and for foodie calls and blah, blah, blah. And more women just started openly cheating. Remember, RPM, like you said, we have to gorge the beast, right? We have to start saying, this is a positive. We have to start telling these ladies, please cheat on your husband. Please do these things. And let these dudes get cucked, right? So it's a cup. Oh, I want cucking to be the norm so that enough guys can realize I don't want that to be me. You see what I'm saying? Because in the Manosphere, this is where the problem has come from, is that we keep on having these caveats, right? Well, no, you just got to find the right one. You just got to look for this. At some point, someone has to start saying, look, man, we need a refresh. We need to stop with all this. Well, no, you just need to, because as I look at what's going on, and I look at society as a whole and where men's positions are, men are still sacrificing out here. And, you know, RPM, you did that video about the fact that no white knight stepped up, right? That should be the norm, but it's not. So what that's telling me is that clearly, RPM, because that article had a right to exist, that means it was an outlier, right? It was an outlier, because normally, what does the story say? Oh, this guy stepped up, right?
This guy stepped up and lost his life for a woman that he didn't.
Yep.
Yeah, gotta love him.
He didn't know her. Yeah, so this is the thing. We have to get to a point where when someone asks, oh man, okay, tell me, what is the norm? What is the normal expectation? Well, guess what? There was a time when the normal expectation for women was that they were virgins on their wedding day. Now that's no longer the thing. Well, guess what? We need new rules to adapt to the new climate. So, as we know, our main man, LOM, Line of MGTOW, shout out to him. What does he always say, RPM? Perfect your lockout game, right? And, you know, people have criticized me and others for not coming up with solutions. RPM, I want your take on this. I did a live Q&A chat. And I talked about going fully nuclear on dudes because the Manosphere needs to evolve. And before I get to what TFM and I were talking about, obviously, with, you know, investing, waiting to see what's going to happen. Obviously, you know, these people are going to, you know, destroy themselves. Right. And, you know, those of you who want to leave the West and go elsewhere. Now, RPM, I want your take. I believe one of the things that the Manosphere needs to do is hold, because remember, you can't do anything to women. You can't hold women accountable, but we can hold the dudes accountable. What do you think about the idea, RPM, that if dudes step out of line of the Manosphere code, they're done forever? So if, at this point, with all the information we have, if a guy gets on bended knee, he's done. You're done forever. You don't get to come back. You don't get to say, oh, I made a mistake, man. I thought she was different. I thought I found my unicorn. No, you're done. You see what I'm saying? Because RPM, marriage should cost you your friendship now in 2021. If you say, oh, y'all, I'm gonna date or I'm gonna get married, you're done. You see how that works? So then it makes, because RPM, years ago in a bygone era, a woman knew that if she went and gave her box away, she was ostracized by the community, right? And then you look at where we're at now.
Why is it
these guys feel that they can simp? And there's no consequence for simping other than, hey, I learned my lesson. No. Simping now costs you friendship. Simping now costs you job opportunities. It has to be to a point where guys are like this. The only option you will have as a man going forward is your lockout game. That's it. You don't get to say, so I want you to imagine this. A guy sits there and goes, oh, I'm talking to this girl. She seems cool. And then every guy like looks at them, because I don't know if you guys know this, but when women go in the bathroom together, a lot of you guys don't know what they're doing. Like, why do girls always go to the bathroom? They go in the bathroom to make sure they respect the sisterhood and stay on code. See? That's why. RPM, you know this, right? Like, when women go to the bathroom together, what are they doing in the bathroom? Like, what are they talking about?
Talking about everything under the sun, but mainly they're making their battle plans against us.
Correct. They are telling you, girl, wait on, how long have you known this guy? How much money do you say he makes? Where does he work at? okay, well, make sure you do this tonight. Make sure you give it up to him at this point, or make him wait this long. That's what they're doing. And then they come back giggling and smiling in your face, right?
Yeah.
And yet guys haven't figured this out yet. And I'm looking at these guys and said, look, man, we're telling you guys the truth. Stop with all this hope strategy, like Coach Greg Adams said. If you still have the hope strategy in 2021, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're too far gone, in my opinion. You're way too far gone. The
union should have told all of you that there is no hope.
There isn't. RPM. Okay, let me ask you this. What have you seen that you would say, this gives me hope? Have you seen anything with here, Japan, the laws, that they make you say, oh, this gives me hope? Have you seen anything?
The only thing that gives me hope is every episode of Hockey Mask Time. That's what gives me hope. Because there's one less bitch that's going to cross another man.
You know what, Drexel? Hockey Mask Time is the blue-pilled simp's gift to the world.
Yes, it is.
Well, here's the irony of HMT. The great irony is that the guys who go and do HMTs are the guys who are the blue pill simp. Because here's the thing. Either they should have never been in that situation to begin with, or they just charge her to the gang. They're like, oh, yeah, because it's almost always over infidelity. Usually these guys can't handle their queen, their goddess that they worship, did something, right? Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Yeah. Koopa's right. It is. It's a red pill overdose or a black pill overdose, depending on what way you take it. So they end up going, they can't handle the reality of female nature, and then they snap. Anakin Skywalker. And these blue pill simps snap. And they go ahead and they go, okay, I got to put on the hockey mask. And yet, I look at this need for a reset, right? And I believe that the manosphere definitely needs some unifying principles. And that we need to stick to that accountability. That like, no. Simping will not be allowed. The dating, okay, look, you know, RPM, you're well aware of Coach Greg Adams, you know, free agent lifestyle, which to me is kind of like the MGTOW template, right? Which is no dating, no cohabitation, no marriage, obviously, you know, no kids. You try to avoid that as best you can. But the things that you always can control the most, because I mean, hell, chicken sperm jack you, but you can always control marriage and cohabitation, right? Those are things that you have 100% control over. And in dating, that has to just end. When the women go into the bathroom, this has to be what we're doing now, just in the internet space. We're taking guys to the bathroom or pulling them to the side and saying, hey, do you remember the MGTOW template? No different than RPM saying, what is the HMT model? A man can only take so much disrespect. Guys need to know going forward that on the state of the manosphere, it was almost like a reaction to the state of the union for the dudes, is that there has to be a point where guys go like this. Okay, we're ready to fall in line. Because if we don't fall in line, here's the consequences. We're done. Our friends are gone. Our family is gone. And when we get divorce raped, I'm going to be on my own. That should be the new standard that all guys know. If I get on bended knee, I'm on my own. So it's just me and her. So if this marriage doesn't work out, I don't get to come back to my friends. They're gone. My family will abandon me. Everyone should abandon you. Okay? For not falling in line, for not staying on code, you have to suffer consequences. Because RPM, guess what? This is how they kept women in check for millennia, right? Chastity belts,
Wrath
of God, religion. They were keeping people in check because they realized, letting people just run amok, this is what will happen. Well, now we have the women running amok who are enabled by the simps running amok. So you have unfettered simping, which has caused the worst of women to be exposed and also prioritized, right? They've been prioritized. Whatever she wants, that's what matters. And also, she is incentivized, right? Oh, you want to divorce your husband? Go ahead. Girl, you're going to get these cash and prizes. Uh-oh. And no one seems to really care. They just kind of, well, you know, Drex, we need to. No. No. There needs to be a new standard that all of us follow. And even in the upcoming story, it's going to be with my Catholic guy I told you guys about on Nick's show that has seven kids. and who went through the absolute ringer for not following the red pill template. And in regards to guys like, you know, the Kevin Samuels, you know, guys who are teaching you to get back on the plantation, his whole high value man concept is not entirely accurate because, as you guys know, there's always a simp. Boyce Watkins is worth $7 or $8 million, and yet he wipes up a 3-time single mom, right? And at 50 years old, oh my gosh, it's finally my turn. Adele was spotted at a NBA Finals game. Yes, that Adele, as in the Grammy-winning singer, who used to be fat. Now that she has better options, what do you think happened to RPM? She's exercising her options, right? Oh, there's a cleanup man, the black guy, the ultimate cleanup man, dealing with a single mom. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. Rich Paul, really? Adele, come on. You can do better. You can do better. and this is, but this is where we're at in the society, right? The guys are, whoa, you know, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Look, man, leave these hoes to the streets. You can get a younger model who looks a lot better than Adele, is not a single mom, is going to follow your program, is not going to try to throw flash money, because I know Adele's going to try to flash money. I know how these broads, I've been around these chicks with money. All they can do is try to flash money like a dude would. It's like, that doesn't work. It doesn't work the other way around. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, RPM, I was told about this this case. I don't know if you know about it. Ben Zobrist. You ever heard that name?
Yeah. I think I saw something about him earlier.
So this dude, I'm reading this article from The Sun right here. And it says, pay away. Chicago Cubs star Ben Zobrist's estranged wife, Juliana, demands $4 million to compensate her after she had an affair with Pastor. I can't make this up. Dude, his story, like, this might be literally like a red pill like guideline, right? Like, it checks all the boxes, right? So Juliana Zobrist, a Christian, I can't stress this enough, a Christian electronic pop singer, will argue in next month's divorce trial that Ben is, quote unquote, guilty of failing to preserve marital assets because he took a leave of absence to work on their marital issues. And then he goes on to say, it comes after Ben, 40, filed a lawsuit in May demanding $6 million from Nashville pastor Byron Yawn, who he alleges had an ongoing affair with Juliana. According to documents from the suit obtained by the Peoria Journal Star, Juliana began talking to the Community Bible Church pastor in 2018, and the relationship became sexual 2 years later. She allegedly used burner phones to communicate with Yawn, who at one point served as the Zobrist marriage counselor. Conflict of interest, right? So this is, once again, hypergamy. When you start struggling in RPM, you know this. If you come to your wife or girlfriend and start complaining about, like, oh my God, you know, it's hard, we have issues, she views you as weak now. She's going to go seek out a stronger male, which is exactly what she did. Thus, the pastor gives you the relationship advice. And it goes on to say, after learning of the affair in June of 2020, Ben Zobrist took a leave of absence to address their marital issues. The Major League Baseball star sat out Cubs games for 4 months and lost $8 million in salary, half of which Juliana is now demanding for herself, along with half of the pair's total assets. Her suit argues that because of the leave, Ben, quote unquote, essentially went from the top of his game to basically giving up, which caused a massive loss in income. So for all you blue pill simps, you bitch made dudes out there talking about some, oh, she's my queen, and you know what, they don't just love you for the money. It's just about the money, man. Every time you go into court, it's only about the money. So the article goes on. In pretrial documents obtained by the Chicago Tribune, Juliana's attorney states, quote unquote, in 2019, he, Ben, had a contract with the Chicago Cubs for $12 million. But since he only played for 2 months, his salary was prorated, and he only earned $4.5 million of the $12 million he could have earned. Ben's attorney issued a response, branding the demand as, quote unquote, utterly absurd. He goes on to say, rather than accepting blame for having torn her husband's heart out by having an affair with their pastor, she expected him to be able to fully focus in an elite athletic job that required 100% of his physical and mental energy, the response states. It is Mrs. Zobrist, by having the extramarital affair and confessing saying to her husband and not disclosing the true extent of her affair that caused him such extreme mental distress and difficulty that resulted in an inability to finish his long and very successful career in the way that he had hoped for and planned for. Ben is pushing for a 60-40 split of assets, claiming that Giuliana overspent their estate by at least $691,000. Right? It goes on to say, this is how bad this, when you see how devious this case is, Giuliana also alleges in the pretrial documents that she was forced, wait for this, guys. She states that she was forced to, quote unquote, manage her husband's behavior because of his struggles with depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. She argues that she supported Ben throughout his, quote unquote, often rigorous baseball schedule, many of the games lasting late at night with all three children in tow. Oh, it was so hard, right? Ben fires back that Giuliana overspent budgets by hundreds of thousands and paid more than $188,000 of the couple's funds on clothing alone. And, dude, the story gets worse and worse, but let me just go ahead and give you guys some notes from this. She spent $30,000, obviously of his money, on a retirement party for the pastor that she was smashing. See, for all these guys out here who wonder why is the Manosphere needed, and this doesn't get talked about enough, RPM, is that, you know, even though I have criticisms of the Manosphere, right? Look at where it started. Look where it went to. Look where it's currently at. It still has room for improvement. I have room for improvement. And RPM has room for improvement. We all do. But, like, we should all want the best out of each other so that cases like this don't happen. Because the reason why this dude is in this position, he didn't have the red pill. He didn't have RPM videos to talk to go to, right? He was. Do you think that some of these guys, and you're starting to see, I don't know if you've noticed RPM, I think some of these hotshot guys are starting to watch some of this red pill content, man. Some of them. Not all of them. Obviously, there's a lot of these guys who are just rich simps, right? These guys are just, that's most of these athletes are. They're just rich simps. They're not high value men. Yes, they're high earners, but they don't really have any values. These guys are dirty macking. You had Delonte West smashing LeBron James' mom. These guys have no value. You see? And these guys out here dirty macking.
Speaking of that, what do you think of the lack of coverage for Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, get his tooth knocked out.
Yeah. My video actually got so shadow banned. Oh, whoo! They suppressed the shit out of that video.
Of course they did. Well, if you think about it, RPM, suppression and the abolition of free speech is also a function of the gynocracy. Because at the end of the day, the Manosphere is telling guys, hey, man, let's get off the plantation. Well, guess what? If someone is trying to censor your message, that means you're doing something right. Whenever, this is just a pro tip for you guys out there. Whenever someone tries to change rules or alter the deal, that means you're doing something right. If everyone just kind of nods along on, hey, RPM, I want to marry a single mom. Hey, RPM, I want to go get married and have 8 kids. No prenup. I'm the sole breadwinner. If no one is trying to stop you from doing something, this is just a pro tip, man. I want you guys to fully understand this. It means you are doing something wrong. If no one's saying anything, no one's stopping you, everyone's just nodding their head, you're doing something wrong. The moment you start saying something and people start suppressing you, taking away your channel, trying to deplatform you, trying to give you copyright strikes or strikes against whatever. Once you start seeing that, you go, wait a minute, why are they coming after me? I didn't do anything wrong. Yes. In their mind, you did. You're getting people off the plantation. So I want you guys to fully embrace that message because at the end of the day, we're the only ones that we've got, man. Only red pill guys, guys in the manosphere. These are the only guys you're going to have. These pastors are not your friend. These guys are prosperity pimps. These guys are out here banging out the whole congregation, especially in the black church. And there are guys out here who still have all this hope and, oh, no, RPM. She loves me, bro. She's different. RPM, let me ask you, how many of these unicorn chameleon videos have you seen recently?
seen a lot of them pop up as of late.
Now, RP, where were they 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Did you see any of these?
Oh, no. Nowhere to be found.
The best you could get for maybe you saw some Karen Strawn videos, right? That I can honestly say she might be the only one I can think of off the top of my head where I can say this girl has been making videos for a very long time addressing men's issues. And I guess you could add Dr. Helen Smith to that. But as a general rule of thumb, bruh, go look at their Instagram page. Well, RPM, the same girls who claim they're good Christians or they just want to go back to traditionalism, you go out and look on their Instagram and they're thotting it up. Go look at their history. That's why, you know, we always have a saying right here, RPM. What is it? Watch what they do, not what they say, right? And this is what the manosphere needs to start hammering home. This also includes simps. Don't listen to these guys who claim to be red pill and stuff. Start really looking at their actions. If you see guys claiming to be red pill, but they're out here simping, right? They're in other women's comments section saying, we need more like you, queen. No, he's done. Okay? He's done. And I believe that as we get more men off the plantation, you know, the question is like, you know, what do you guys want to see from the manosphere? That would be my closing question to you guys, right? Like, what is it that you guys want to really see? Like, what changes do you guys want to see? Is there something that we left out? Because the manosphere, like I said, it's always evolving. There's always new content creators, new ideas being put into it. You know, obviously, like I said, I had to address the grifters and all that. But what do you guys really want to see, man? Because I feel that a lot of these, don't worry, we're going to do a chameleon purge. Don't worry. We're going to still go after and go on this chameleon crusade. I know that this Lauren Southern went after Sandman. She exposed her true colors, right? And when we look in their past, these hoes are getting ran through. Lauren Chin is a chameleon. A lot of these girls are chameleons. RPM, these guys still haven't figured that out. Because you know what it is? They have the hope strategy. They want to believe. I want you guys to just look at the facts. Let's evolve the manosphere into something better and bigger and less inclusive. That's something that doesn't get talked about enough. The manosphere needs to be more discriminatory to who is let in. You don't just need to just show up and just say, hey, I'm in the manosphere. Because RPM, you know how that, you know what ends up happening when you do that? You end up with Derek Jackson, right? Infiltrators. Simps. That's how you wind up with Derek Jackson. Like when someone goes, how did Derek Jackson end up in this space? Because he was allowed to be in this space. Tommy Lauren was allowed to speak for men. Allowed to say she's conservative. Dude, these people are all liars, man. And I just want you guys to really take that home with you and to think to yourselves and post in the comments section, what do you want to see out of the manosphere? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I'll definitely reply to that.
And as I look at some of the things, myths that the manosphere spreads, there's a couple of criticisms and critiques I have in analyzing things about the manosphere. One of the biggest ones is traditionalism. So if you listen to a lot of guys in the manosphere, they will swear that traditionalism was all peaches and cream, right? And if we were to look at religious texts, they all say otherwise, right? There's lots of red pills being dispensed in the Bible, in the Quran, throughout the world, all kinds of red pills, right? Or even black pills, depending on what way you want to look at it. Yet, the manosphere has a cognitive dissonance in this regard, right? And there's a few things that they tend to overlook. And if you were to ask a lot of the women of that era, a lot of women felt, notice I say felt, I'm not saying they were given a raw deal, but a lot of women felt they weren't getting a very fair shake back then, right? During this, you know, idealistic 1950s era that these guys try to idealize. And, you know, one of the reasons why so many women rebelled and why feminism was so easy to take hold of a lot of these women is because they truly did feel that their deal wasn't good in the sense that, look at what they were stuck home with. We say men were, you know, they were bound by this thing and these principles. Well, let's look at the life of a woman back then, right? Your ability to make money was fairly limited. And you were relying on a man, which in and of itself is not bad. It's not horrible. But let's face it, a lot of these women had to deal with a lot of infidelities, and they themselves were being promiscuous also to a much lesser extent and being devious. But one of the things that doesn't get talked about is I want you guys to imagine being a woman back then and being stuck with like a boring, lame dick, two pump chump, right? So what ended up happening is that there was an overcorrection, right? As is often the case. And there was an overcorrection. And then what so you look at is these women were like, well, hey, I want to be liberated. I want to do X, Y, and Z. I want to be able to make my own money, have as many partners as I want, blah, 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 blah. But there's a few things people got to realize about this whole era that the manosphere tries to pretend was literal perfection. You know, think about this for a second, Tim. And you can answer this question before we ask her. Hey, if we asked Mama Vic what the 1950s was like, do you think she's going to say it was perfect, like Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith Show? What do you think she's going to say?
Oh, she said she's probably going to say it's a facade. It looked good on the surface until you got into the details.
That's right. Did you know that there was a lot of paternity fraud going on back then?
Probably.
A lot. See, they don't talk about, look, were there men putting hands on women? Yeah, there was a small percent. I'm sure it's a relatively small percent. But what you're seeing is there was a percentage of guys who were doing bad things to women. There was a percentage of women back then, because it was hard for women to do bad things to men back then because, you know, A, they were held accountable, and B, because the man was, you know, for the most part, the sole breadwinner, or at least primary breadwinner. Back then, the laws were different, right? You know, if in the event that there was a divorce, the kids went with the dad because he's the breadwinner. Things have changed. So the manosphere tries to spin some of these things like everybody was so happy back then. It was just perfection. And there's a few things that we need to really talk about. And one of those is that the people who push for traditionalism the most, this is a harsh reality the manosphere doesn't want to talk about. The guys who push for traditionalism the most are the guys who are closer to the bottom of the sexual marketplace. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, you look at the guys out there, like, you know, the Leo DiCaprios, Idris Elba, Jack Nicholson, Hugh Hefner. These guys weren't out there screaming for monogamy. There's a reason why. You see what I'm saying? So the question becomes, are these guys a bit disingenuous, right? Because do they really want this traditionalist society, blah, blah, blah? Or are these guys really just undercover simps craving peace leave? Because they're you know, by the definition of, you know, the Kevin Samuels and even women, right? They're considered low value men to those women. I'm not calling these guys. I'm just saying that's the image that they're putting out there to the people that judge them harshest. And the manosphere doesn't really like to talk about this, right? And there are just these things that the manosphere tends to overlook. And, you know, you see this on Strong Successful Males channel, right? And, you know, this guy, I love Strong Successful Males. If you guys don't know, he's got a great channel. I think he's out in the, I want to say the Northeast, like Boston area. He's in his car doing videos. Great channel. Check out Strong Successful Male. But one of the issues I have with Strong Successful Male, and I see this a lot in the manosphere, you know, 33 Secrets, all these guys. There's a certain two words that they use that I think the manosphere truly needs to get away from. And Tim, I'm sure you heard this in enough Red Pill videos. Good guy, right? Lots of you guys are good guys, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute, though. Yeah. Hold on. Now, Tim, we can all acknowledge that most of these guys are bitch-made simps, right? Like, most just guys in general. We're not saying, you know, whether someone considers themselves Red Pill, Blue Pill, Black Pill. We're just saying guys in general are simps, right? Otherwise, how would the society get to the point it is, right? Most dudes are simps. Okay, so we can start there. If you say what makes you a good guy is that you go to work every day and you provide and protect, okay, that's not much different than the opposite side, right? Because if you just keep going and say, hey, you know, we're all good guys here. We're good guys. Okay. Well, let's look at it from the female perspective, right? If a guy is saying he's a good guy and a woman walks around saying all day, hey, I'm a good girl. Me and my girls are good girls. I'm Tommy Lauren. And me and my friends, we're good girls. And Tim, what does everybody in the manosphere say? You're not good girls, right? Isn't that what guys were saying about Tommy Lauren? Men are trash. So what? She's a chameleon, right? So that's what guys call Tommy Lauren. But okay, but let's be fair. If a bunch of dudes sit there saying, you know, and like I said, this is not a knock on Struxus Mill at all. Make no mistake, I'm a huge fan of the show. But too many guys in the manosphere do this whole, I'm a good guy, hey, we're all good guys, there's lots of us good guys, we're just regular guys, we're good. But what is a, women don't want a regular guy, okay? If you aren't packing downstairs, if you aren't blowing backs out, if you're not, hey, Tim, think about all the episodes that we've done, right? Thought Girl Summer, 12 Days of Thought Miss. We've had girls come in interview. Do you notice they talk about, you know, especially like the infidelity and stuff, right? Why are people being so promiscuous and there's so much infidelity now, right? The manosphere doesn't like to really address this. They try to pretend they're the ones in the right, and the feminists pretend they're in the right. People aren't upholding their end of the bargain and keeping engaged. If you're in a relationship, you have to still be dating. You see what I'm saying? You can't just say, oh, well, I got her now, or I don't have to do anything, or vice versa. She can't just say, I got him now, well, what else do I need to do, right? No, you still have to date. You still have to court. So the manosphere has this view, and I'm thinking to myself, calling yourself a good, that'd be like you're an athlete, and you walk around and say, I'm a blue chip athlete. I'm great. I'm the best ever. I'm Michael Jordan. And someone's like looking at you like, bro, we're looking at your stats. You average 1 point per game in 4 minutes. And zero rebounds and, you know, four fouls. Why do you think you're like Michael Jordan? Well, I look like Michael Jordan. I can act like Michael Jordan. Like, but you're not Michael Jordan. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I kind of see that's happening in on both sides, men and women. Women are out here getting ran through, doing the most, acting crazy, and trying to say, well, I'm still a good girl, Tim. We all make mistakes. They try to put palm the responsibility onto men or to share, right? And then the men are out here saying, I mean, I'm in the manosphere, you know, all of us red pill guys, you know, we're good guys. And it's like, yeah, but come on, man. I did that mirror stream, you know, 3 to 7 minutes of sex is what these guys are giving these women. That's not good, okay? Just saying I work every day is not good enough for most of them. Because, okay, Tim, let's think about this for a second, right? Let's do like a little correlation. Okay. The opposite sex and the market itself, and this is what Fresh and Fit, I think, is really good at. When they talk about the market determines how good, quote unquote, good men and women are, right? So from one perspective, game, money, looks, status, that can't keep her. Dr. Dre just got divorced. I don't know if you heard, Tim. He's got to pay $300,000 a month to his ex, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos. Bezos got divorced. Brad Pitt got divorced. All these guys getting divorced. So the market is dictating, right? Along with her feelings, right? Her fee-fees. Okay, well, Tim, watch this. Let's flip it. From her perspective, looks and sex alone can't keep him, right? We all agree on that, right? If she just walks in the door saying, I'm hot and I'll sleep with you. Well, that will work for the first few months. And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, so now I got to still live with you the rest of my life? You're not a good girl. You're kind of annoying. See, so if she walks around saying, but I'm a good girl. And likewise, if the guy walks around just saying, I'm a good guy. Yes, you're handy around the house. Yes, you do X, Y, Z. But you don't romance me anymore. You don't do this anymore. See, it's all just a matter of perspective. So there's these myths that just keep popping up over and over in the manosphere, right? We're only looking for virgins. Dude, that's not going to save you. It is a lesser probability that you're going to get divorce raped if you marry a virgin. Yes, that is true. That's proven fact. However, Tim, we know this culture that's out here now, this thought culture. There's no guarantee that you marrying a virgin, you're going to win, right? You've seen Mormon girls get turned out wanting to be strippers and escorts. We saw Aisha Curry saying that she wants male attention. Jada Pinkett Smith got caught up in an entanglement with her son's friend. Oh, what about you guys that claim that a prenup is going to save you? Judges throw those out and use them as ass wiping paper. So the prenup's not going to count. It's all about the body count, though, Tim. Body count, body count, body count. You don't know. You just don't know. And the manosphere keeps perpetuating these myths. And on the flip side, as we look at some of the young guys out here, TikTok. These guys are bringing in a whole new perspective because now you're seeing how widespread this problem is, right? And that's why I've always said that there needs to be every ethnic group needs to be invited into the manosphere, right? All men from all over. And the reason why I say this, and you know this, Tim, on this channel, we invite our Discord patrons and stuff to come on the show, right? These guys are on the show. They're doing episodes with us. Like, they're part of it so that you guys can get some more perspective. So you're not just saying, like, it's just Trek saying this. Yet we got Coop, people.
We don't allow him after the goblin amputees.
Look, man. After Koopa, man, look, man, there's rules, man. We got standards. Man. We got the one standard, man. No goblins, no amputees, and no goblin amputees. But the thing that gets overlooked is that there's these blind spots. It's like, you know, when you guys are out there driving, there's blind spots when you drive, right? Well, you kind of see that also in the Manosphere, where here's a prime example. Here goes a myth that the Manosphere spits out there all the time. Go overseas, y'all. Get your passport, y'all. Hey, Tim, let's talk about that for a second. Overseas, right? Do you think the women are any different overseas?
Temporarily, nope. Until they meet an American woman.
Yeah, or yeah, remember though, they're just being suppressed. So it's all a lie, right? Yeah. So if you think about this for a second, right? Okay, I want to have a special little moment for all of you guys out there who say you're going to go overseas and get an Asian. If the Asian women were so great and they were the best thing since sliced bread, how come Asian men are running away from Asian women in droves and retreating to hentai and video games? If the Asian women, like Tim, how come no one wants to answer that question, right? Go to Asia. Asian is the best. Dude. Someone said, yeah, Chi-Chi. You're right. Chi-Chi from Dragon Ball Z, Goku's wife. That is the epitome that happens when you marry an Asian. That's why they call him a dragon lady. Dude, all you guys out here who keep thinking, I'm going to go overseas and I'm going to beat the system. Go overseas and get one of those Asian chicks to see what happens. Go get one of these South American chicks and see what happens. Go get one of these Africans or Middle Eastern and see what happens. Ask the guys in these countries. This is the reason why, as you guys know, when we first started this channel, I wanted to get input from people from all over, every ethnic group, every age group, so you guys could really see how widespread the problem is. Because if I go talk to a bunch of Middle Eastern guys, shout out to my man Armor from Alpha Male Lifestyle, he'll tell you, man, they're horrible. They'll divorce break you worse than any of these Western chicks. So, okay, that's not an option. The guys in Asia, especially in Japan, are marrying holograms and dolls, right? So clearly there's something, these guys must know something that a lot of these Westerners don't. Guys are just projecting what they think is a better deal. Guys are hypergamous, right? Because Tim, if we have a bunch of guys in the Manosphere talking about the 1950s and traditionalism, right? And then you look around at the guys who are living in these countries because they're like, go get your passport. And those guys are saying, man, you can have them. You can have these women. I see this in the black community. Oh, I'm going to go get me a white girl. I'm tired of dealing with these black chicks. These German shepherds are getting on my nerves. Well, they get a white chick and they deal with the same problems. I go, dude, they're all like this, right? And one of the things that bothers me, that's another blind spot in the Manosphere, is that have you guys noticed that the guys saying all this, go overseas, you guys, you know what the percentage is, but I haven't seen any of those guys that are actually married to women and living overseas with the women they say are so great, right? Leave the West, y'all. Go to Asia. Why aren't you there, though? They got an excuse, right? Tim, tell me I'm lying. You've seen a million Red Pill channels. These guys tell you go overseas. Asian women are better. They're more feminine. But if that's true, why are you over there marrying them and living there? Because you're going to deal with the same problems that the men in those countries deal with those women. They're like, yo, bro, they're not. Tim, it's what you said earlier, right? It's not what it seems, right? Like if we bring Mama Vic on here to talk about, I can't wait to deal with and talk to more older men and women who grew up in the 1950s. And they will tell you it wasn't perfect. It was far from. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you ain't lying. These TradCon communities were degenerates, right? Yeah, dude, it was all an illusion, I promise you. All that Leave It to Beaver stuff, dude, this. So if you think about it, though, Tim, the guys are these hopeless romantics just like the females, right? Guys look at, okay, the men's idealistic view of the world comes from that era, right? Andy Griffith Show, Leave It to Beaver, blah, blah, blah. That's their, you know, it was perfect. That's what I want. I want to be a traditional man. And then women are out here looking at reading romance novels, looking at romantic comedies and thinking, that's the ideal. I want a guy who's in touch with his feelings. And then they get it and they don't want it. If you guys lived in the 1950s, you would think everything was just peaches and cream. I promise you it wasn't. Go look, like I said, go read any religious text. Go listen to some of those old songs, right? Yes, and Koopas ain't lying. Man, the mailman was smashing these bras in the 50s, I promise you. These chicks were getting bunker busted. So was the milkman. So I'm tired of people. Here it is. I'm tired of people trying to pretend that none of this happened, right? And yes, it did indeed involve into the pool guy, right? The pool boy of the 90s. Shout out to Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife getting smashed by the pool boy, right? And pretty soon, you know what, Tim? It's going to be these Amazon delivery drivers, FedEx, UPS. The Amazon drone is going to start dropping. I think the Amazon drone is literally going to start dropping off vibrators to these chicks, man. It's getting bad, man. And don't forget about those dogs, absolutely, with the peanut butter and all that. But I want you guys to understand Drex, what's going on.
Drex, that's how you sign for a package in the future, is you got to open up and let the drone go in.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame, though. Is it the because, Sam, think about it, though. Okay, now, we all agree that the Manosphere was here to help men, right? But yet, you look at what the Manosphere has become. Is it really helping guys? See, don't get me wrong. Like I said, some guys' channels, hey, man, you won't hear me say anything. I love Hammer Hand, guys like that. But I start looking at some of the messages, and that's why you start to see a lot of guys even drop MGTOW from their name. And it's not just because of the algorithm. They start to see some of the toxicity and actual, you know, true misogyny bleeding through. Because I start looking at this thing, I'm like, look, man, how can someone sit there and be like, listen, if you say go get your passport, I have nothing against that. If you say the women are more feminine over there, that's true. I have nothing against that. But when you start believing that, like, oh, yeah, you go over there and all your problems are solved with women, if that were true, then that would mean the men over there would have zero problems with women. And that's not true. And they're out for your resources, man. We know this. But when I look at the overall thing, man, and I look at, you know, what is going to be the fate of the boys and girls coming up out of this, right? With all this red pill knowledge and all this stuff, what's going to be their fate? You know, will the boys become bigger simps? Will they go full monk mode? Will they, you know, go get a doll? Where is that going? And, you know, you look at the girls, obviously the girls have so many opportunities to be, you know, turbo thoughts, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get the girls to fall in line. So you can only do what you can. But the thing that keeps bothering me about all of this things in the Manosphere, and some people have talked about this with Kevin Samuels, and it's no knock on him, but by giving women that outline, like I said, I'll say it again, he's given them the tools to chameleon their way back into your wallet. Because Tim, think about it. We've talked about this before, right? Is the women invading male spaces, right? We keep seeing it over and over. You see women starting to invade men. Women start migrating toward Kevin Samuels, this guy, that guy's channel. And all of a sudden you're like, why are you really here though? They want to learn what guys are learning because they see that the dating market has changed. Guys aren't courting anymore. Guys aren't chivalrous anymore. Guys aren't out here simping anymore. They're like, wait a minute. The dating market changed. These guys just want to smash. I need to find out why they're acting like this. So when the women come to find out, they infiltrate, find out what the guys are talking about. Uh-oh, they caught on to our games. They're just going to come up with a new game. And that's one of
this recording was allegedly 10 minutes long.
It's unsettling to me that we are actually raising a new group, a new era of chameleons. I hope the Manosphere truly understands that. But that's all I got for like the Manosphere talk. Like I said, just some criticisms of things that we can, you know, work on. Let me know what you guys think in terms of like solutions or things that you've noticed and criticisms. But then moving on a bright note to end it off was the experience of Anime Matsuri.
Yeah, you were at Anime Matsuri. How was it?
Great. Anime Matsuri was great. I don't like the city of Houston, Texas, as a general rule of thumb. But Anime Matsuri was great. The George R. Brown Centers who hosted the event, shout out to them. You guys did an excellent job. The place is huge. It's huge. It's expansive. excellent venue. Like I went in there. I mean, the thing is huge. When I first saw Nick, I'm like, Nick, you know, dude, I know this thing. This place is huge. And they have like a blue decor when you're inside. It just has a nice look and feel to it. And I appreciate the food. They have the food trucks across from the venue. There's a restaurant inside, a couple of restaurants inside the venue, and then of course, you know, little stands when you were in there to get, you know, like kind of like, you know, kid food. I would call it kid food, right? Yeah. Hot dogs or pizza or pretzels or, you know, all that kind of popcorn stuff. They have that kind of stuff.
Did you see any good sluts there?
Oh, there are plenty, man. Although not as many as what you would expect, because from what I've been hearing, those were the chicks that were getting, I guess, like kind of like they were getting like their trip comped, right? Like they were getting their trips to these cons comped. And I guess with COVID and all that stuff and budgets, they were kind of like, no. So there were still enough. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever been to one, so I can't. You guys know what anime characters look like. You guys know that a lot of those characters for the females have very revealing clothing. Well, guess what? What do women love more than anything, Tim? Attention, right? That's their currency. So these women dress in the most scantily clothing. Outfits, but the layout of the place allowed you to say, hey man, I see everything. There was two groups of people that were LARPing down there, having a full-on like battlefront fight out there, which was crazy. And it was crazy. Like I said, I love the various exhibits. There was an art exhibit upstairs. That was great. There were so many attractions. I sent pictures to Tim as a fellow Metal Gear fan. It was awesome. Like I said, these people had full booths set up. They were selling merchandise. I always made sure to tip them. Because, I mean, they did a great job. They went in there and they really got their thing. They really did it. And they made it a great experience.
I was left wondering why Metal Gear is at an anime expo.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think it's just like Metal Gear is very anime-esque, right? The you know, the ninja, all the villains have superpower. You know what I'm saying? It's very anime.
I wish it was anime.
Yeah, well think about it. Look at the things you see. It'd be awesome as an anime, I think. I think it's gonna be, it would make a better anime than it would a live action movie. I just don't think the live action movie is gonna do it justice.
Nope.
And I love, like I said, I love Matt Suri. I definitely want to get to like another con. And I mean, I can't speak about going to Matt Suri without talking about meeting Vic and Mama Vic. And it was a great experience. Like I finally meet Vic Mignogna in the flesh. Great guy. Mama Vic is right there, huge hugs, all that stuff, and it was great. It was like one of those, like, oh my God, finally we get to meet kind of moments. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed with Vic was that he does, you know, I've only heard of his personality in terms of, like, you know, his engagement with fans and stuff. And so I got to see it up close and personal. Like, this guy loves his fans. He loves being there. He had by far the longest line. You know, when we were, he had a line that stretched out across to where the, if you guys were at Matt Suri, you would know his booth was directly across from all of the anime cars, right? People decked out their cars in anime fan art, and it was awesome. And he just, like I said, he was just a great guy, very courteous, always enthusiastic. So I was like, and as you see him engage with his fans and just people in general, me, my daughter, and she loved it. She's just like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And I was telling you guys, my daughter, because, you know, kids don't comprehend celebrity the same way that adults do. So an adult can know who a voice actor is and be like, oh man, it's a pleasure to meet you. You know, but because of kids, they don't fully grasp that, you know, to them, you're just a face. If they've never seen you, you're just a face, right? So my daughter meets Vic, shakes his hand and just like, oh yeah, cool. Nice to meet you. And then I'll never forget, it was the next night. It was Saturday night. We went to Vic's panel and Vic did the actual voice of his Full Metal Alchemist character, right?
Yeah, Edward.
Edward, yep. And so what happened, my daughter's like face is like lights up, like, well, because she finally put two and two together. Like, wait a minute, this guy does the voices. And, you know, of course, he did, you know, he sung the Dragon Ball Z opening song, right? Yeah. And she just, and there's a guy with, or a girl, actually, a girl in a Pikachu costume that she asked Vic to sing Happy Birthday to her brother. And it was a 2-hour panel. It breezed by. I was sitting next to Nick and Lady Rackets and Nick's niece. The 2 hours breezed by, and it felt like we had not barely even started, because like Vic was kind of like, and he's just, there was a woman who comes by like, oh yeah, so Vic, just so you know, whoever owns the venue said, you know, 2 hours is the limit. And it's kind of like, well, damn, this is already 2 hours. So it was just great to see him like in his element, engaged with his fans. And it was just, like I said, it was just a great experience. And Mama Vic was so kind, so courteous. And she poked a few jokes at the, you know, she and I, obviously, you know how we feel about Me Too. And when we saw Vic that, it was that afternoon of Saturday afternoon. She's like, yeah, don't you see all the graping going on? Don't you see all the, you know, all the bad behavior with Vic? Isn't he just a monster? And she just kept rolling her eyes like, you believe these people? Tim, how was Vic accused of any of this? Slurs? Yeah, she didn't drop any slurs. But it was funny to see, because I'm standing right there with Mama Vic and my girl. And the thing that was so funny to see was that, like, here she is bringing up the obvious. How can Vic be accused of doing these things if it's out in the open, right? How did you get away with it? Like, so that's how you know it's false, because people are saying, Vic did this to me. Ow! It's... Tim, could you imagine being accused of like punching someone in the face when you're like literally in the middle of a con, right? It's a convention. So how did it happen? Where did it happen? When did it happen? Because it didn't happen. I'm sitting there looking at people like, bruh, like the fact that this guy got railroaded, man, it is what it is, man. I'm proud of him for fighting back. I'm happy for him to fight back. And like I said, so Vic Mignogna, shout out to you. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. You're a great storyteller. Great with the fans. You just have the aura. You really do. He's got the aura. He's just got that enthusiasm. Mama Vic, same way. She just has that nice, sweet lady aura to her, right? You know, she raised a great son.
We know what's underneath, though.
Oh yeah, she's still a firecracker, though. Make no mistake.
She's a loose cannon there.
It's beautiful.
Vic's pants.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna have to knock you for the pants, though, man. We're gonna have to dock you some cool points, man. Look, I don't know who your stylist is, or if you lost a bet, but yeah, we're gonna have to dock you for the pants. Everything else was cool, though.
That's what the pants hate, Koopa. You know damn well what the pants hate is all about.
Oh yeah, but I forgot to give a special shout out to my man who. I forgot to bring that up. I had met some fans on there, and that was a weird feeling, Tim. Like, going to get some food at a food truck. Yeah, and you're like, oh, let me just go to this food truck. Drexel! Hey, what's up? Because if you remember, in the online space, Tim, you don't know who any of these people's faces are, right? You see what I'm saying? So like, you know, I'm standing next to Nick, and these are fans of Nick's. And it's like, oh, yeah, Drex, I've seen you on the show. I'm like, hey, guys, how's it going? And there were guys who were in cosplay. Shout out to my man. You know, he's wearing the cloud stripe outfit. My brother was wearing the Ike from Fire Emblem. And, you know, we're taking pictures with people, everything. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, we can take pictures together. It's cool. And it's a weird feeling, because it kind of goes back to something I said earlier, Tim, which is I'm far from being a celebrity, but the nature of celebrity itself has changed, because people can actually touch these people, right? Like most people who are fans of Tom Cruise will never actually have even a shot at meeting Tom Cruise or touching Tom Cruise. But like guys like me, Nick Riccata, Vic Mignogna, we're right there. We're just guys doing our thing. We actually appreciate the people who support us. So it's like, you know, hey, what's up? You know, yeah, let's snap a picture together, whatever. So it was fun. I had my main man make this epic, as Tim has seen, this epic steel. He did this on steel, man. This is on, it's like stainless steel or aluminum. He made this for me. Like I said, I'm going to put it up right behind this Picasso, because, man, it's, we even got Ron in the background with two hot twin brunettes. And it looks like I'm in like Warhammer armor. And I mean, this is God tier. So I sent him a text asking to shill, so I'll make sure that when you guys see this, I guess we'll put this on the placard for the episode, and I'll definitely shill for him, because Yeah, he did a great job. So shout out to him. He knows who he is. I don't want to dox the guy, but he knows who he is. He made the this epic portrait of me with Ron in the background peeping over, wishing he was a part of the action. Then I'm going to gift these two chicks. But yeah, that's Matt Sury, man. Definitely check it out, guys. It's a great time. It's fun. It's hot, but it's definitely worth it. So peace and love to everybody out there who was there that I met and anyone that I missed. I'll hopefully catch you next time. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got, man. RPM, you got any closing words, man?
Watch out for the simps and watch out for those chameleons. Because trust and believe, the only way things are going to get better, unfortunately, it's going to have to take a lot of pain and bloodshed.
And yeah, we'll go ahead and talk to you later, man. That's all I got. Peace out to everybody out there in the world.
All right, well, that's it for this episode, everyone. We'll see you again next week. Stay frosty.
All right, see you, brother. Peace.
Peace.